Well, let's continue with our message from this morning on the signs of Christ's coming. Now, if you remember this morning, we started looking at some signs that we know are going to be repeated from the days of Noah in the last days when the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to come again. We looked this morning at a sign that tells us that Jesus is coming soon, the very fact that there's godlessness everywhere you turn in this world. You ever notice this? It's hard to find anybody to sit down with you and talk about Jesus anymore.
Amen.
They'll talk to you about everything else but Jesus, but you won't talk about Jesus. They don't have time. Godlessness everywhere you go. And then we talked also about the breakdown of the home. Never in my whole life have I ever seen the home being attacked by Satan and all his demons as I see it being attacked today. Well, we're going to continue on tonight and look at some more signs. I want to ask you to look back with me in your book to the in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. I'm going to reread the scriptures we had this morning. If you look in Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to look there in verse number 3. In Matthew 24, verse 3, then pick up in verse number 36. As I shared this morning in the message, disciples, Jesus' disciples of the first century that walked with him there, wanted to know things about the signs of Lord Jesus, when are you going to come again? They asked him a question, verse 3, listen to them. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 36, Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Slip down to verse number 42, and let me just read a few more verses. Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Sounds to me like Jesus wanted them to understand he was going to come. Verse 43, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And you remember we shared this morning that if you want to know the answers, at least in part, to the question they asked, Lord Jesus, tell us, give us the signs, give us some ideas of when you're going to come again. I said this morning, if you remember, if you're going to get the answers to those, you've got to go back to the Old Testament. You've got to go to the Bible, the Word of God, not any other book. Can't find that in other books. Doesn't tell you. Won't give you any help. The only help you're going to get about the signs of Jesus coming is found in the Word of God. So you've got to go back now to the book of Genesis with me and look in Genesis chapter number 4, as we shared this morning. Genesis chapter 4, verses number 16 through verse 24. I'll read those again. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah. Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. I know there's many more things we could pick out from the Word of God and share that really just jump out and scream to us, wake up, look up, our redemption draws near, the Lord Jesus is coming. Not just what we shared this morning, what I'm going to share tonight is going to add something a little bit to that. There's about four more signs I want to share, if time permits, to what we shared this morning. You know, we talked about the breakup of the home, we talked about the building of cities, talked about godlessness. Now let's pick up from there and look at another sign of the times of today that correspond with the times of the days of Noah just prior to the great flood. Now, here's a sign. In the pre-flood age, agriculture just started to develop. Go back and look at verse number 20 there in chapter 4 of Genesis. Verse 20. And Ada bare Jubal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Did you know this is a first mention? And let me share this with you while we're talking about this. There's a law of theology called the law of first mention. It's very important. Anytime you find something mentioned the first time in the Bible, every other reference throughout the whole Word of God reverts back to the very time that it was mentioned the first time. So in these verses I've read, there's several first mentions. This one here in verse 20 is the first mention in the Bible of raising cattle for a prophet. He's a father of those who dwell in tents and kept cattle for a prophet. From that day, just kind of project your mind all the way into today. Look how far agricultural development has come from the days in which it was first mentioned unto today. Let me just kind of condense it a little bit for you. Up until about 100 years ago, agriculture and farming was pretty much done like it was 2,000 years ago. Hadn't a whole lot of technology changed. But in the last 100 years or so, my goodness, it staggers your mind, the agricultural development that's taken place. And just in the last, say, 20, 30 years, think about it. With the push of a button or the click of a computer, one man can set in motion a whole farm. And he can take, with one little swift click of a computer, start a farming situation and just do a great amount of work with just a push of a button. Work that would have taken probably numerous men, maybe 100 men, I don't know, but they would have taken a lot of men and a lot of other instruments to do what the world can do today. Agriculture has really come a long way, hasn't it? Not all of it's good. Now I know you're familiar, at least somewhat, with animal cloning. I'm not so sure that's good, but I know it's happening around the world. They could even take an animal and make a perfect clone off of that particular animal, almost like you'd say an identical twin. And I don't know, you'd never hear it admitted, but I'm sure that there's human cloning already been done too. You just don't know about it yet, but I know it's been done. I'm sure it has. What a great stride there has been. What is that saying to us? It's telling us that the coming of the Lord Jesus is very, very near. Well, that's just a sign that the Lord Jesus said, when these things are repeated, you can look up because I'm coming. Agriculture has developed in such strides that we just can't imagine probably today. But there's another sign. In the pre-flood days was the days when music making began. Go back to that same chapter and look at verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. It was in the days of Noah that worldly music got its start. through harp and organ. I know that God uses instruments just great ways to glorify His name. I know that happens. But I want you to look at the trend of music from those days to now. Beloved, it staggers my imagination to think about the trend of music that we're hearing and knowing about today. I'm going to call it like I see it, junk music. That's what I'm going to call it. That's the way I see it. Junk music is being splashed on our young people and our adults as well as never before in all the days of my life. We're being bombarded by worldly music. Our young people are being absolutely brainwashed with rock music and pop music and rap music. I got another word for that one, but I won't say it. You got it. And listen, so-called country music, all these musics are being bombarded on our youth today to brainwash them. Worldly music. And I could just spend all night talking about that, and I'm not going to do that. You know about it probably as good or not better than I do. But here's what disturbs me. It's not just the youth. Adults are just falling into it by the thousands and maybe by the millions. I don't know. And many times the adults are setting the example of the kinds of music they listen to that their children come right along and listen to it, and then they wonder why children do some of the things they do. Well, maybe we've taught them to do it by the way we listen to stuff and partake in stuff. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, but that's okay. I got my own saw. All right? This contemporary music that we're hearing so much about today, that's the kind of music out of the world that's already crept into the Church of the Living God today. Listen to it. You hear all kinds of rock beats and rock music, and they want to stick some Christian words with it. Listen. You'll never keep your mind right and your heart right with God, and your body right with God, listening to all kinds of the music that we're hearing today. You wonder why we have so many rebels in our youth and our young adults and some old adults too. Partly it's due to the music they're listening to. Some of the roughest music I've ever heard in words in all my life, I'm hearing bits and pieces of today. Let me give you a hint. You want to be rich? I'll tell you how to be rich. Guaranteed. You want to hear? Make you a CD or make you a DVD and just use the roughest, ungodly kind of words and music on it that you can possibly put on it. If you're doing a DVD, dress up in the horriblest clothes you could think of that look like and portray the devil, and make you a CD and send it out in the world, and the world will just love it. And they'll buy it. And you'll end up rich. Look at these rock bands. Look at what they've done. I don't know about you, but I listen sometimes to some of these things because I want to hear what they're saying, where they're coming from, and where they're going. What do you think they're suggesting in their music to our children? I'll tell you what they're suggesting. First of all, suicide. Oh, suicide has gone so high with our youth. And listening to this kind of music many times gives them the opportunity to do that. Not only suicide, they portray sex, ungodly, out of wedlock sex of all kind of perverted nature that you can't even imagine. Probably some of us adults would be just shocked if you even heard it. They project sex. They project suicide. The drug culture has really invaded the music scene today. A lot of your music portrays taking drugs of all sorts, from alcohol to whatever you can imagine. Modern day music advocates divorce, advocates adultery, advocates fornication, Some of the most dirty, filthy music I've ever heard in my life, you're hearing it today. Do you think we're not living in the pre-flood days and repeating those things? It wasn't as bad then as it is now. It's horrible what we're hearing today. Well, today's music is a good indicator leading up to me to see Jesus Christ is coming soon. It wouldn't bother me if Jesus came before I finish this message. What about you? Would it bother you if Jesus came? If it would, you better get on your knees and get it all straightened out. Amen? Well, I'm getting to want to see my Jesus more now than I ever have in my life. Not because I'm getting older, but I am. But I just want to see Jesus. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the music I'm hearing. I'm tired of the godlessness that we're seeing all around us and the sin we're living around. I'm tired of seeing the home bombarded and families just torn apart by sin. I'm tired of it. I want to go home. So you see, this pre-flood music is just today what's going on. But there's another sign I pick up from these verses. Another sign that tells me that my Lord Jesus is coming soon. It's the proliferation of the age of metals. Now, you may not even think that'd be a sign of Jesus coming, but listen, go back to that passage again. Look at verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifice in brass and iron, and his sister, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. The use of metals was beginning in that day, pre-flood. And here you found the father of the beginning uses of metal during those days. Have you ever stopped to even give a thought to how dependent we are today on metals? Your car's got a lot of metal in it. Not much as it used to be, but it's got some in it. Couldn't have one without some metal in it today. Look at all your appliances in your home, ladies. From your vacuum cleaner to your freezer or whatever you want to look at. Look at all the metals. Even churches are being built today out of metal buildings. Now, I'm not against that. I'm just saying, look at the use of metals today. Never have I seen such use of metals. Even our homes are being built today with metal studs in the walls where over the years it was always wood. Now they're saying, you know, we use metal studs because of fire prevention, which is probably a good thing. But nevertheless, it's more expensive initially to build with metal. But look at all your high-rise skyscrapers, all the city buildings. Just go from here to yonder. Look at all the metal we're depending on today. Well, that's a sign to me. Maybe you didn't see it. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you didn't think about it. Had never thought about it. Think about it. Think about it. The use of metals today is a sign to me my Lord's coming soon. But there's another fourth sign that you cannot fail to see. In the pre-flood age, there was days of violence. And look at today. Let's go back and look at that verse again. Go back to chapter 4. Look at verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding. In other words, somebody hurt me, and I killed him. That's what he's saying. And he says, a young man to my hurt. A young man hurt me and I killed him. Another man hurt me and I killed him. I killed two men. Well, you're one up on Cain. He just killed one. Do you know in this particular chapter is the first time in the Word of God that you hear of murder, homicide, you might say today, murder being committed? It's the law of first mention. Everywhere throughout the Scriptures reverts back to the first murder when Cain killed his brother, now his near descendant below him. Now he kills two men. Well, remember what Jesus said about the coming of the Lord Jesus, he said, "You know not the hour when I'm going to come. If you knew when I was going to come, you'd get your house in order. You wouldn't be taken by surprise. You wouldn't have this violence that's going on in the world today." In the Word of God here in chapter 4 of Genesis, it reveals the slaying of Abel by his brother Cain. Now listen, now Lamech tells his two wives, "I've killed two men." It almost seems like to me that Lamech is bragging. "I've killed two men. I want you to understand that. I've killed two men who wounded me, who hurt me, did something I didn't like." Bragged about it, his own violence. Have you ever stopped and really given a sad thought to how people have such a cheap value on life today? People are being murdered today for a six-pack of beer. One hit of heroin. One rock of cocaine. Life doesn't mean anything to people for the most part today. Violence on every hand that you would never imagine is going on. Precious little babies, innocent children, are being beaten to death by some godless somebody. They're being drowned. They're being molested. They're being shaken to death, beaten against walls. It's not a privilege, but I had an occasion years ago, my first church, to go to visit the hospital when a little child had been abused. And you would not have believed what happened to that child. It just staggered me that I have never forgot it. That's been 40-some years ago. This poor little boy had had cigarette burns pressed to his little body all over. And they set that child naked down on top of a, we'd call an old two-eyed heater, you know, used to cook on, lady, you know what I'm talking about. Set that little naked child on a heater, one of those eyes like the burners have today. The child survived. What a horrible thing for somebody to do to an innocent child. You can get into a simple disagreement with somebody, doesn't he? They'll pull out a gun and shoot you. Just last week in Florida, you saw where that just graduated police officer was driving an Uber. He was working. This guy jumped to his car and thought he had his girlfriend back there, and the police officer ended up finally shooting the guy. You probably saw it on the news. It was declared a good shoot, nevertheless. But nonetheless, think about all the terrorism. Just 2 days away now, you've got to have it on your mind. 911. This is 9-9. Just 2 days from now, we're going to have a fresh memory of the violence and the terrorism that tore down those towers and killed all those precious people, thousands of them. You can't ever forget that. God help us to never forget that. Violence and terrorism. All the car bombings and all kinds of people taking cars and just running into a crowd of innocent people, killing people, blowing up people. All these beheadings we're hearing about in the Middle East of just taking swords and cutting people's heads off. Horrible violence going on today. I could go on and on and on about the violence of today, but you know the picture as well as I do. What is this saying to us? Do you hear it? Do you understand it? That the violence of today is screaming Jesus Christ is going to come, and He's coming soon. The days of Noah are being repeated. Everything you saw just to the pre-flood is taking place in an even greater escalation today than it ever has been in the pre-flood days. How could Jesus not come again soon? Now, you know the end product of what happened then, don't you? You know about the flood. The Bible says it. They didn't even realize it. They didn't care. They gave it no thought. Until the day that the Lord opened up the windows of heaven and opened up the fountains of the deep, and it poured from above, and it boiled up from the bottom, and it flooded the whole wide world. I don't care what these dime store theologians say. It was not a local flood. It was a universal flood. This whole wide world was covered with water, and nobody survived but Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives. Eight people out of the whole wide world were the only ones who were in the ark of safety that got out. Now listen to me, church. This is going to happen again, but not the same way. Every time you see a rainbow in the heavens, you look up and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that that's your promise to us, that you're never going to flood the whole world again. But then you need to go over to the book of Peter and read what he said. He said, this present earth and heavens as we know it are going to burn up one day. They're going to melt with fervent heat. And he said, nevertheless, praise God, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But beloved, listen. This world is headed toward destruction. Majority of this world is going to go to hell. It's sad. Well, how do you have a right to say that, preacher? I'll tell you how I can have a right, because Jesus said it. Jesus said, narrow's the gate and narrow's the way to eternal life. And he said, few there be that find it. You just better be sure you found it. Amen? Amen. I'm sure I found it. I've entered the narrow gate, and I'm on the narrow way, and I'm going to stay on the narrow way until I go up. Amen. Well, never have I ever seen people as adamant against the gospel as I'm seeing today. You used to could talk about the gospel on your job. You get fired today for that. You used to wear Christian jewelry. Nobody said anything. Now then they'll harass you about it at least and try to find a reason to get rid of you. The world doesn't want to hear the gospel. Well, let me share this and I'll close. When the Lord comes, tribulation sets in. Only those who've never heard the gospel will have an opportunity to get in the ark of safety and be saved during the tribulation. Now, I'm talking about newborns. I'm not talking about somebody who's in this world who just goes into tribulation. They've heard. Let me ask you this. Who's heard the gospel today? You have. I have. All the world's heard the gospel today. So don't ever think that you're going to just slide in with that group in the tribulation when they give their heart to Jesus. Listen, that's not going to happen, because you've heard the gospel one time. You're without excuse. And we've all heard the gospel. Every one of us is without excuse. Well, I don't know how I can impress on our hearts. This is the most serious business in your life and in my life. Are you tired of sin? Really? I ask people, if you're tired of sinning, they look at me like I'm an idiot. I know I'm not real bright. I didn't fall off the truck last night. Had enough sense to accept Jesus as my Savior. I think that's a pretty good move. What do you think about it? You're tired of sin? Tired of sinning? Beloved, listen. Jesus said, occupy till I come. And when's he going to come? I don't know. He said the angels in heaven don't know. Only my Father knows. And Father will tell Jesus, son, it's time to go get your children. Nobody's going to know. Don't let anybody tell you they know. All we can look at is what's going on today that went on before the days of the great flood, and you see it just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied way a million times over than what it ever was. And the world paid the price then, a heavy price. And the world's going to pay again. Well, the days of Noah are all over us. They're all around us. Jesus, what are you waiting for? And I can tell you what his answer is. Son, just for the fullness of time, you just serve me and you love me and you try to win as many people to me as you can. He says that to every Christian. He says that to our church. That's why the church is here. If it wasn't for evangelism, there'd be no need for a church. Sharon Baptist wouldn't need to be here were it not for winning people to Jesus. No other reason Christ leaves us here than to win the lost. And oh, so many are going to be lost when the trumpet sounds, that old eastern sky rolls back like a scroll, and the Son of Man descends in all His glory. And the Bible says the holy angels of God are going to come with Him, and we'll be caught up with ourselves to be with the Lord and all of our precious loved ones. And then such a hell on earth as you've never seen. You've never seen violence in this world like it's going to be when Jesus takes us away. The Bible says it'll be a time that no flesh would survive were it not for God having mercy. I'm just glad I've got in. I'm just glad I know my Lord Jesus as my Savior. I trust that you do too. It should put a great burden on us, and we ought to ask God for this burden to our heart, to our church. God, put a burden on my heart for lost people. You're going to meet somebody this week, I promise you, you're going to meet somebody who's lost. Somebody who desperately needs the Lord Jesus. Maybe you can explain some of this, a little bit of this. What I heard that my preacher preached last Sunday. He said, Jesus is coming, and I'll tell you why. You can take them to Genesis 4 and you can show them. Take them over to Matthew, show them why. Maybe you can get one more to go to heaven with us before our Lord comes again. Amen? That's our goal.